Welcome to I Am Anna Man. Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to I Am Anna Man. Well, I've been away for quite some time, haven't I? I'm sure some of you have missed me. Some of you, maybe not so much, mentioning no name, Sue Clinch. She, bless her, she has asked me to stop bringing her up on these shows or at my live performances, or to just not speak to her again. And I think it's so sad, isn't it, when someone gets ill like that. You know, when a dear friend, someone you love, and they sort of get things in their heads. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're bad for me. You know, you are making my life worse. With Sue, it's more like, you know, you are making my life worse, because he's got that horrible, grating, guttural. It sounds like a... I always say to Sue, it sounds like, you know, did you see that thing where they threw a pig into hot oil? It's a bit like that, you know, but deep and grim, you know. But that's her upbringing. I always say to her, use it more, Sue, you know, as an actress. I mean, she barely works. I mean, I don't work much. And she got a thing recently where someone sort of dressed her as a badger and then hunted her for a bit, you know, and it was sort of a protest thing or something. I don't know what the point was, but she got £100. So, you know, that was crackers for a week. Good on her. No cheese, though, of course, because she's off it. On my advice. She's just got something in her head, and I find it so sad, you know, when people are ill like that, you know, when they become paranoid and convinced, you know, just because you're going around the country talking about them, making fun of them in the best way, mm-hmm. doing impressions of their voice, yeah. you know, getting a mask made of their face and then using it to frighten burglars, that sort of thing, you know. And somehow they take offence when really you're trying to help them, aren't you?
Was there something specific that you did that really needed?
Yes, what happened was... Oh, by the way, listeners, I'm talking about my... I'm Anna Mann, in case you were wondering. I'm talking about my friend Sue Clinch, my oldest friend, apart from all the ones that died. Was it something specific? I think it was when... I mean, I'm a prankster. I like to have a giggle. I like to play a prank every now and again. I think it keeps us alive, you know? Yeah. And I sewed her into her own bed, right. is what I did. It was after a couple of bottles of absinthe, and we were la-la, you know. And Sue had been really bothering me all day, because she'd brought up Terry Towers. I don't know if you remember him.
No, you've not mentioned. I don't think you mentioned.
Terry Towers, tallest man in showbiz.
Oh, right.
He towers by name, and he towered.
Yeah, it's clever.
He was tall. I can't remember the phrase. But he was very tall, and they used to put him in. They used to put him all sorts of shows. Strangely, he was often in plane show. You know, planes, films planes. About planes, planes. You
like
know,
airplanes.
Yes, you know, Battle of Britain, that sort of thing. Which was strange because he couldn't really fit. You know, his legs would be up, his knees would be up by his eyeballs.
He was a pilot.
He would play the pilots. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I think it was just his moustache and his nature. You know, he was something quintessentially British about Terry Towers, which is strange because he grew up in Sri Lanka.
Really?
Born there, grew up there, came over here to Britain to find work. And he found it straight away because he was so tall, you know. He was so tall. They didn't realise that he wasn't British, so he got all these parts as kings.
What made them think he was British?
I think he just spoke a lot posher than us. He spoke... you see the Leicester coming out there. He spoke a lot posher than us, I think, because I think in Sri Lanka, when you learn British English, it's English, isn't it? Is it English or British?
The language?
Yes.
English.
English. You know, my mother, she's one of these people. She's gone into this thing of obsessed about Britain and taking Britain back. You know, she's fallen into that horrible trap of being an absolute arsehole. And she does this thing, it's kind of funny, when you go to the doctors, and she's always at the doctors, you know, because of her feet. And you know when you do that thing where you have to write ethnicity?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I just circle something random. Just to say, well, no, what I normally do, I circle something random and say, and then I write, you know, little asterisks. This is a lie, but I think it's okay if I was that.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Mum does the opposite. She underlines white twice.
Wow.
And then often a third time. She circles British, but then she crosses it out and she writes English underneath. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's intense.
That's an intense. Yeah. How is she clinging on to life when there's so, you know, when we lose, when Jim Morrison died?
I mean, she must be quite
She's
old.
Ancient. Mm. She is ancient. She's like a stick. I saw her the other day coming out of Ladbrokes, and I thought, is that a stick with a hat on? And I thought, no, it's mother. You know, that's how she's become this sort of... She just looks like a broom or something, you know. Tiny and shriveled up like a prune. And every time I see her, I think, you're going to outlive me. I know you are. I know she's going to beat me.
It's that generation. They just
I think
keep
that's,
going.
That's the only reason she hangs in there, to beat me. I know it is.
That's spite.
Out of spite. She gave birth to me out of spite, and she will kill me out of spite, you know. And that's what she would say when I was growing up. She was an awful woman, you know. I mean, you've read the... I wrote a book about it, you know. Mummy wouldn't take me to Europe, Disney. I mean, I was a full adult by then, you know. But still, it was a harrowing experience to not be taken, especially when you know how much I love Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I wrote the sequel. Mummy did take me to Euro Disney, but then she pushed me off the flume, you know, and that did happen. Not a lot else happens in that book, so it's a long wait to the flume bit. And then when it does happen, it's very quick. I think it's just a sentence, and then she pushed me off the flume.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the latter half is the repercussions. You know, I split up with my husband. I don't work for 3 years, you know, because, I mean, physically I could carry on. But every time I went to do any sort of acting, I'd just see this flume.
Yeah, the water coming at you.
Don't. I couldn't bathe for a year, you know. I had to bathe in sort of, well, I tried bathing in just jam because I thought, well, that's smelled,
that?
Well, because it smells nice.
But other things smell nice.
What else smells nice?
Well, you could have used some sort of bath bomb or shower gel.
A bath bomb?
Smelled nice. Something more bathing related, I suppose.
Yes, but jam is lovely.
Sticky.
It's sticky. You get all stuck to things, and it's really fun.
I thought that was maybe a bad thing.
No.
Okay.
No, I would run around getting stuck to things.
Hmm.
It was that was actually turned out to be one of my best years. But no, Sue pissed me off big time. Because we were talking about Terry Towers. Because, why was it? One of his old films had come on the television. And she said, there he is, there's old Terry Towers. And I said, oh my goodness, look at him. Wasn't he beautiful? Because he was beautiful, you know. I mean, he was so tall, you know. So tall. And his head was tiny.
Really?
Really tiny. But there was so much leg, it almost didn't matter. Does that make sense?
Far away.
Possibly that was it. I don't know. That's what people used to say to me. But I said, no. But I got up close, you know, because we were together for a long time. You know, it was
really?
Him who got me into acid. And he, but when you finally got up there, you know, and it would be a long trek, you found a very tiny head. Which was nice, actually, which was refreshing. Which was refreshing, because after you'd been, you know, I remember our wedding night. I mean, you know, it was an absolute, it was like Everest, you know, just getting... And we were horizontal then. But you needed bloody guy ropes to get up that guy. He was that tall. His real name wasn't Terry Towers. His real name was... Baggish... Hang on, I should know this because it was my name for some time. Baggish... Not Baggish... Bagvashin... Bagvashin ran... Ranshin... Sean. No, that now I'm just doing song.
Sounds,
now I'm just doing sounds. I don't know what his surname was, really, so I just kept man. But no, Terry Towers, what a lot of fun. Mm. What a lot of fun. Tiny head. And Sue was sat next to me, you know, nose in the bloody trough, so to speak, you know. She bought one of those tray bakes and wouldn't give me a look in. Mm. And I was really angling for a marshmallow or two, maybe just a bit of chocolate, you know, to just...
Rocky road.
Well, what?
Is that not what you're describing?
It's a rocky road.
Is that not what you're describing? A tray bake rocky road?
Tray bake rocky road. Oh, that's the name of the... Mm. Oh, the biscuity, and it's a rocky road.
Marshmallow.
And it is a rocky road, isn't it? My dad used to say that. Anna, it's a rocky road. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of it, you die. Mm. I think he was very depressed looking back.
Was he talking about Rocky Road?
Well, I hope not. And I suppose it depends how big the rocky road was. I mean, Sue would do it.
Mm.
She'd do it. She'd just munch through a bloody street. Her idea. Her ideal day is being force-fed, or not even force-fed, just being fed Rocky Road, while she gives me evils, doesn't do any work, refuses to clean up her one big spoon. I remember the day she bought that. That was one of the happiest days of her life. I remember she was absolutely overjoyed about this one big spoon. I said to her, I said, Sue, what do you want for your birthday? You know, I'll get you something nice, because she'd had a rough year. She always has a rough year, bless her. She's not well. It's all falling off her. None of the stuff she wants to get rid of, you know.
Hmm.
I mean, that's to stay. I don't think there's any shifting that, not at this age. But all the bits that she wants to keep are giving up. That's you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But she... I said, Sue, what do you want for Christmas? Let me get you something fun. And what I was going to do, you would have loved this. For Christmas, I was going to put on a Christmas pageant for Sue Clinch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be... I was going to do it with my friend Bill Hepburn. You know, Bill Hepburn. Mm. Used to ride a motorbike.
Yeah.
And it was going to be me and Bill Hepburn on his motorbike, you know, which he can't ride anymore, bless him. But, you know, he was going to just push it. But it was going to be me and Bill Hepburn and a few of the old gang, you know, some of the old crowd that are still in the business. I mean, the ones that aren't are essentially dead to me.
Yeah.
And we put on this pageant in the street, the Sue Clinch pageant, you know, because it would have been her 60th Christmas, you know, because she missed a few. And I would do the life of Sue, seven ages of Sue, you know, of Sue Clinch, my best friend. And it would be Sue as a baby. And I'd put on this sumo suit and I'd just be sort of rolling around going, oh, I'm such a big baby, you know. And then it would be Sue as a girl and I'd put on the sumo suit. But this time I'd have like a, you know, a schoolgirl outfit. Oh, no, everyone at school laughs at me. Sue at drama school, which when I first met, you know, and I'd put on a sumo suit and then I'd just be like, oh, I'm not very good at acting. And then, you know, it'd be her as a grown-up. Sumo suit, and then it would be her in the grave. You know, we'd end with her death, and we'd just have this. Bill would just come out with this massive coffin that was like, you know, as big as a bus.
Yeah,
and we'd go, and I'd be the priest, and I'd put on a sumo suit just because I really like the sumo suit.
Mm.
So then I'd be the priest, and I'd say, "Poor Sue Clinch, she never did lose all that weight." And if anything, she got bigger. Look at her. She's buried in a bus.
Mm.
And that would have been sort of my
tribute.
Gift. That was what I suggested to her for that Christmas. She flew into an absolute rage. And when she kicks off, you know. I mean, you know that we're living together now. And it's been a while.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. My husband has been asking for me to come back. But I find him so unbelievably dull.
Mm.
I don't mind saying that to his face. What they always said to me, Anna, don't marry someone in the business, marry someone with loads of money.
Yeah.
They'll be boring, but you know, because you don't get loads of money unless you're a bit boring or you're successful, you know. And I'm neither. So, you know, I thought it would be fun. And then the whole day is just talking about, oh, gosh, we're just talking about where to put the shelves.
Mm.
And where he came to me and he said, where do you want to put the shelf? The fuck? Do you know what I mean, Phil? I've played Cleopatra. I've played Mother Courage in Brecht's. I think I pronounced that right.
Mm.
You know, I played, I played King of the Gorilla People in Fear the Gorilla People. You know, I almost played it, but Sue got me to the part, which I've never forgiven her for.
Typecasting.
We've talked about that before, but I've never forgiven her for it. I played a fish, you know, in Fishers of Plenty.
Yeah.
Fishers of Plenty, down by the river, catches in your net, have us for dinner, you know.
Yeah.
It's a children's show. It was wonderful fun. It was all about, you know, it was for this. There's this little island off the coast of Scotland where I think it's called, what was it called? It's called Hey, or something like that. It was just a noise. I mean,
yeah.
But it's all children there. You know, they have to become fishermen, but some of them leave because it's a very drab place. And so it was to try and, you know, convince them to stay fishing. And we were going,
sort of propaganda.
Propaganda, yes. And I got very well paid for that. In fish. So anyway, I put on this pageant. Oh, yes, and she flies into a rage. Mm. Who was I talking about before that? My husband. Very boring.
Mm.
This was the honeymoon period, weeks after the marriage. We're still very much, if not in love, we're still very much, you know, not in hate. Mm. And And he's like, oh, my darling. And I'm like, why should you call me that? And he's like, what should we do today? You know? And I say, oh, let's do something wild. You know, let's head down to Brighton and go on the Crazy Mouse for the entire day. You know, let's buy the Crazy Mouse and let's move it here. Something like that.
Hmm.
Well, I think that would be a little excessive. I said, what the?
Yeah.
A little excessive? I'm Anna Mann.
Hmm.
You know? I cut me and I bleed excess, loads of blood, you know, especially if you hit an artery. I could die in seconds. I am excess, you know. I was almost in excess. I was almost in excess. That's another story which we won't go into right now. I am life, I am fire, I am rage, I am passion. If you didn't want that, you know, why did you marry me? And he's like, well, no, I'm just suggesting that maybe we should, you know, budget a little bit. Budget?
Mm.
Budget? You might as well say, maybe we should put on our SWAT stickers and march down the street. Because it's essentially the same thing to me. It's as disgusting. I'm not here to budget. I'm not here to count.
Right.
I'm here to perform 24/7. That's what I do. I'm an actress, you know. I'm here to be carried away by Romeo, to play, Captain Trampoline. And it's a superhero movie. Really. Too early. Missed the wave.
Shame.
Such a shame. Such a shame. And I think the limit, you know, because I always like the superheroes where they have to do it for themselves. You know, where they don't get given powers. You know, like Batman.
Catwoman,
you know. Batman.
Mm.
Captain Trampoline, you know, he's not from another planet. He's not hit by rays, you know. He's
had a trampoline.
Yes, he's got a trampoline, and he knows how to use it. His entire family were slaughtered, were absolutely slaughtered by rogue whalers. That's how it starts.
Oh, where's it set?
Well, they had to do that because they basically got this whaling ship somehow, and had to use it somehow.
Yeah, sure.
The rest of it's all set in Kent.
Okay.
But it starts on the high sea, his whole family, and then he falls out of the ship that he's in because his family are Greenpeace and they're trying to stop whaling, and then they kill the whales. They're killing the whales, and then the family protests, and then all the family get wiped out. He's left. He sees all this. Oh my gosh!
Traumatized.
Utterly traumatized. And the boy who did it was great.
Mm.
He was really good, you know, because he was just instinctive.
Mm.
You know. All I had to do was sit next to him for about 3 hours and just go, your mum and dad are dead, your mum and dad are dead, your mum and dad are dead. And he was terrified. You know, he gave a real performance eventually.
That's great.
When I finally stopped him smiling, wiped that smirk off his face. But he was great, you know. And then cut to Captain, you know, years later, Captain Trampoline. And... oh, no, that's it, sorry. So the baby falls out of the boat, the little boy, having seen this, and they've got a trampoline on board, and that's what he lands in. And he sort of bounces his way back to land.
Right.
It's only a small trampoline.
Okay.
but he's sort of gradually, you know, the trampoline floats and he's just got to keep bouncing. You know, so it's a real ordeal. Yeah. And what you do, you know, those sort of montage where you see them getting stronger and fitter, you know, like Captain America or whatever, getting stronger. As he do it, you see his legs become, would take him years to get to shore.
Yeah.
Biting the heads off fish and stuff, you know, like kind of real survival stuff.
Yeah.
So by the time he's, but he's, is what's keeping him going?
The trampoline.
The trampoline, yeah. But also his rage.
Okay.
You know, yeah. That he will be back and he will...
Sort of vengeance.
He will have his vengeance on these fucking whalers. Yeah. My God, I hate whalers. I demanded the whalers be in it. Again, I had the whaling ship, but also I really... I mean, there's one thing I... If there's one animal I don't want to kill and eat, it's a whale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, beautiful. If you cook it and put it on a plate for me, I'll eat it.
Mm.
And if you tell me I've got to kill it myself, I'll do it for the experience, you know, for the sensual, you know, when you...
The rush.
I don't know if you've ever slaughtered a lamb.
No.
But it's actually, they... It, there's this wonderful moment where it's like they're saying thank you.
Is there?
Oh, it's... Honestly. I had to do it in a play night after night. It was a very experimental piece, yeah, you know. And it ended with that.
Yeah. You know?
And every night we'll get a standing ovation.
Wow.
People love it. Yeah. I mean, otherwise we'd all be vegetarian, right?
Well, that's true, yeah.
You know, we fucking love killing things.
We love it.
It's great. Mm. So anyway, and there's no point denying that.
No.
So this kid has got to bounce all the way. But yeah, whale is the one thing I will not kill and eat. This kid's got to bounce all the way. And you sort of see him over the months and years getting to land.
Yeah.
And his legs are getting stronger and stronger. The rest of him is completely atrophied,
yeah.
But his legs are getting powerful.
Yeah.
Cut to a few years later, and he's on land and fighting crime, tearing down the organized crime in his city, using the trampoline.
How does he use the trampoline?
So the first time we see him as Captain Trampoline, it's a mugging, okay, standard mugging.
Mm-hmm.
Give me all your money or you're dead, you know. Boom, 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 boom. What's that noise? Don't try and distract me. Give me the money, all right? Or you're dead. Boom, boom, boom. Turns around, there's a man on a trampoline just jumping up and down, naked.
Right.
Completely distracted.
Mm.
Then the man jumps off the trampoline and punches him.
Right. So it's a distraction.
It's a thing. Yes. It's like a power. It's not a... Well, I played the big boss. Dame Van Whaler. Real evil Lex Luthor type character, but a woman, you know, and a whaler. And then so he fights crime for a bit, and then he's sort of like, I'm going to get my vengeance on the whalers.
Yeah.
Problem is, they're all out at sea.
Mm.
So he's only got to get on the bloody trampoline and...
It goes back on the...
Yes! He realises, and that's the sort of wonderful... you know, the end of the second act,
yeah.
You know, Dark Night of the Soul moment, yeah. That's what we call it, is when he realises he's got to go back. And then eventually gets there, and he mercilessly slaughters them all.
Oh, it's quite a dark ending.
And he feeds them to the whales.
Justice, I suppose. Is
that justice? And he says, justice has been served, and boy, is it delicious.
Oh, nice.
And that's our out.
Yeah.
It didn't do great at the box office, but it's, I think it's one of those films that's going to be discovered.
A sort of cult.
Yeah.
Cult classic.
Yeah, because it was daring to be different. I mean, there are a million Spider-Men and lizard people.
Yeah.
But there's only one Captain Trampoline. Quite and there's a reason for that.
Mm.
So I say to him, I say, look, whatever your fucking name is. Look, I got into this marriage, okay, so I could have some fun, right?
Yeah, sure.
I want to be... If you're saying to me you've got all this money, right, you're a millionaire, and he's like, well, I never said I was a millionaire, you know, I make about 80,000 a year, which is a lot.
Still good.
That's a lot.
Very good.
If you don't buy that fucking crazy mouse and have it shipped over here, then you're basically saying that I'm not... That I don't matter. That I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Aren't you? You know, yeah. You're saying, all those things I said when we got married, you know, which I wrote for him, you know, Anna, I will pay for you. I will pay everything for you. I'll do whatever you want.
The vows,
which was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And really, I almost cried. You're saying all that, and then you won't even buy me the fucking crazy mouse. And he's like, well, it would probably cost, you know, he did add it up, which was good of him, you know, and he was very fast. He was very good with numbers. And it came to about £6 million, he thought, just to do that, you know. And he said, it's not even worth it, you know, it'd be cheaper to build a new one. And I said, I don't want a new one, I want that one, you know, because I was getting really angry by this point. I'm living with Sue again.
Yeah.
Anyway, putting on this pageant for Sue for Christmas, and flies into a rage. Why do you have to do this, Anna? You're actually, you know, you act like this nice person, and then you do this. And I'm like, but Sue, I thought that's what you wanted. It's a celebration of your life. And it's honest and it's true. And she's like, why are you wearing a sumo suit when you're playing me?
Yeah.
And I say, well, because... Well, why are you wearing a sumo suit? You know, because that's how she talks.
Yeah.
And I say, well, because it's just... Because I just happen to have one. And she goes, that's not why you're wearing it, is it? I say, yes, I just got one. And that, I don't know, I just feel like that sums you up. Best, I don't know. And she's going, oh, right, because I'm a big girl, was that what you're saying, because I'm big? I'm like, no, it's nothing to do with that, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm wearing it because it just works for the character of Sue, you know. Yeah. Well, because the character's really bad. Anyway, blah blah blah, and we just I said, Sue, we're just going round in circles, let's just cancel the whole pissing thing. I'll tell Bill Hepburn that he's not going to get to perform again. It's the last thing he wanted to do before he died, which will be soon because he's very old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell all the rest of the gang that, sorry, there's no work this year. So, there you go.
But she wouldn't...
Not interested.
Didn't.
So I said, well, what do you want for Christmas then? Because I'd already done my list, you know, and there was 50 things on it. Crazy mouse. And all she wanted was a big spoon. A really big spoon. I said, why do you want a really big spoon? She said, just so I can get more on the, you know, so we can get more per scoop, you know, because she doesn't like, Sue doesn't like doing too much
work.
And I can understand that. I mean, it must be hard.
Mm.
Ugh. So I got her the big spoon. Drilling. That's Sue outside right now. Drilling. Oh, she's stopped now because she's heard me. Yes, Sue, all right, that's enough, darling. Thank you, we are recording.
What's she drilling?
Hmm?
What's she drilling?
She's drilling holes in the wall because she thinks there are bats. She's convinced there are bats in the walls.
Why? What's made her think that?
I don't. She had a dream about it. When Sue has a dream, she thinks that's true. You know, she struggles to separate reality and fiction. You know. I'm going to put that sumo suit on in a minute. Then she'll bloody stop. So, Phil, Sue was finally... We've had a little break there, by the way. We had to edit that out because Sue was on the rampage. She's now finally agreed to stop drilling for bats.
Yeah.
I just threw a big ball for her and she's ran off into the park. So hopefully...
She seemed happy.
Yeah, she seemed happy. So now we can finish the podcast. But it's been so long, I don't even know what I started talking about. What was it? Sue, big spoon, pageant, husband.
Husband.
Why have I been away?
Hmm.
Well, in a nutshell, I've been away. Well, I've been very busy. I've been performing in a new show.
Oh, brilliant.
All about rats. Rats, 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 rats on the floor. There's always a rat. Wherever you look, it's a rat. 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 It was an advert for extermination company. And that only took a day. But I got paid very well.
Brilliant.
Thousands of pounds. My motto has always been, when you've got money, just spend it till it's gone.
Yeah.
Then you're back in the shithole.
Yeah.
Having to do podcasts, etc. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't love it, Phil. Don't get me wrong. This I live and breathe this stuff. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if I had loads of money, I wouldn't be doing any of this. No. Oh, God, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no. I mean, I would still be an actress.
Mm.
If I had loads and loads of money, what would I do? I think I buy my own theatre.
Yeah.
I buy my own theatre and I put on a wonderful show with all my old rivals.
Yeah.
You know, all my old, all the people that I used to go up against at castings when I was younger, you know, all the ones, a lot of them are now in TV and film, and some of them have done very well, you know, and Helen Mirren I'd have as the lead, you know, and I'd get them in the theatre and for this big opening night, and then I would demolish it with all those fuckers inside.
Wow.
And then maybe I'd get some bloody work, that's, you know?
Nice dream.
I'm joking, of course, I wouldn't do that. No. What I'd do, I think, if I had loads and loads of money, I think I'd just line up. I think I'd just get rid of everything I've got.
Yeah.
And start again. I'd like to start again. Do you ever want to start again?
All the time.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, you're a lot younger than me.
Yes.
When you get to my age, but you can't start again. I mean, I've tried. Every now and again, I try and relaunch my career, you know. Maybe this time I'll know how to do it well. I do know how to do it well. Don't say that, Anna. That's putting yourself down. Maybe this time they'll get that I am doing it well.
They'll understand what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. They'll understand why. But no, no regrets. No regrets. I've lived a life. And if I could start again, what would I do? Where would I live? On a boat? I'd like to live on a boat. I'd like to live in a helicopter.
I don't think you can live in a helicopter.
Hmm, shame. I'd like to live in a caravan, like a gypsy. Couldn't we say that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'd like to live in a caravan, like a gypsy. And I'd travel round Britain and the rest of the world, and I'd tell people's fortunes, and I'd marry a gypsy man called Blackheart.
Okay.
He'd be a rogue, you know. Is it possible to start again?
As a gypsy?
Hmm.
I think so.
You can just become one?
I think so.
I mean, they've got history with it, haven't they? Would they think I was being vulgar turning up and saying, mind if I pitch in?
I think they might.
They
you
might.
You could be transitory.
You know, what does that mean?
You could just sort of live on the street.
I Here today, gone tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, be homeless.
Live in your car?
Live in my car. I don't have a car. I've got a bike.
Live near your bike?
I could live near my bike. I could go around the world. I could put my bike there. And then I could just live near it. Oh, that would be wonderful. What a wonderful life.
Romantic.
But what would I miss? I'd miss central heating.
Yeah.
I'd miss cakes.
Yeah.
Although I could probably steal some.
It'd be difficult.
As I do anyway.
Difficult when it rained.
It would be difficult, but then it's always difficult when it rains, isn't it? You know? And I sort of learnt a long time ago to dance between the raindrops.
That's nice.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, no.
It's just a little thing I, you know, when it rains, dance between the raindrops. I think that was a song.
I mean,
it's really hard. Anything. Have you ever tried it?
No.
I mean, the gaps are minuscule, especially when it's really chucking it down. Mm. And you look like you've completely lost it. People thought I was having a breakdown. I was trying to get between raindrops. So many of them. When it first starts raining, it's easier.
Yeah.
Because it might rain here and there, and you're like, oh, you're just dancing then.
Yeah.
But then once it sort of comes down, it's a terrible saying. So I guess I'd steal an umbrella, and I'd sit by my bike, and I'd read Hemingway.
Okay.
Is that any good?
I think so.
I imagine it's good.
Spanish Civil War and...
Ooh.
Bullfighting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I'm against the slaughter of any animals.
Well, he liked that, though, Hemingway.
He liked slaughtering animals?
He loved it, yeah.
Oh, fuck, I bet he did.
Yeah.
But he was
masculine.
Ooh. Was there a lot of him?
I think so, yeah. Big man, big beard.
Ah, big man with a big beard.
Shot himself.
Gammy leg. What? Why did he do that?
It's all sort of, masculine, you know.
It's
don't want to live anymore.
Oh, God.
Sort of,
oh, God, why don't
you? Some men do that.
Do they? Well, it's sort of like you're sort of going, what's the toughest thing I could do now?
Yeah,
I could blow my own head off.
Blow your own head off, yeah. Eat a catfish.
Oh, I've done that. Blowing your own head off. Wow. Ooh. So the question is, where have I been this time? Well, I've actually been to Australia. Yes, I did the advert in Australia.
Oh.
And it was really good fun. And while I was there, I was at the bar, someone bought me a drink.
Mm.
I said, oh, who's bought me this drink? And the barman said, oh, chap over there. And I thought, oh, how lovely. Well, I've still got it, you know. I am not completely withered and prunish, you know. I've still got my looks to a degree. I don't know. I mean, people say I have. I turn around, and there was this chap waving at me, a young chap, you know, very blonde, very handsome. Not that you have to be blonde to be handsome. I've got in trouble for that before. And he came over and he said, how's your drink? I said, well, it's lovely, thank you. It's exactly what I normally drink, you know, it's a pint of Guinness. And he said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, oh, my goodness. And I went back through all the cheese and sex parties I'd been at, you know, desperately trying to remember who it could have been. It's me, Mum, he said. What? Tony? I said, no, Mum, not Tony. Tony was your dog. And I go, oh, yes, of course. Oh, my goodness, it's... And he says, yes, it's Mark. And I say, oh, I was going to say something else. Mark! The Maharaja! That's what I called him, the Maharaja. And he hated the name. Hated the name. That's why he was called Mark. This is what he told me. Oh, gosh, oh, Maharaja! I haven't seen you for so long. Well, I mean, I love the name Maharaja. You know, it doesn't make any sense calling him that, but it was so much fun. I said, well, where have you been? What? And he said, well, you remember I left with Dad for Australia. And I said, I know, and I would have come, and I should have come, and I'm sorry, and I love it. And I just wept, you know, tears of... I felt so awful, you know, that I'd just forgotten I'd had him. Mm. It was a long time ago. No, I mean... Oh, I felt so bad because I was so busy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing when you're an actress or an actor, you know, you're just so busy and it's...
Oh!
I said, Maharaja, and he said, please call me Mark. And I said, Mark, do you hate me? Do you hate me? And he said, for a long time, I was very angry. That's what Maharaja... Mark Haraja, let's call him a compromise. Mm. I was very angry for a long time. And I said, I appreciate that and I understand. And he said, but then I came to understand. And I said, what was it? What did you see that made you understand? Was it, you know, was it there's a dinosaur in my pocket? Mm. Was it Rogue Baker? All about a baker goes rogue, you know. Was it all the way up the apple tree, but all the apples are gone, which is a very harrowing story about a mother-daughter thing. With these apple trees, and you know the apple trees represent their life, and all the apples have gone, you know, and then she dies at the end, and she becomes a sort of transient, like, you know, and I played a maid, I was in it for a second. Okay. So I haven't watched it. I watched that bit, but you know, but I said, which was it? What was it that made you realise actually Mum couldn't be there? Because she had to do that, yeah. You know, because she had to, well, I mean, shape our culture,
yeah.
I guess is a non-hyperbolic way to say it, you know, yeah. I don't, important. You know, because I don't want to be OTT with this,
but yeah.
I don't want to suggest that I'm some sort of, you know, that I've changed the world or whatever, but obviously I played a very large part in making, in all culture since,
yeah.
You know, across the world as yeah. well, internationally I'm known. Which of those was it that made you realise? And he said, no, it wasn't those. And I said, well, was it my theatre work then? Were you there? Were you that chap at the back of the play, you know, when we were doing the you know, Theatre of the Dicks? Were you the one person who was there watching? No. Well, what was it? Was it my animation, Toby Jugs? You know, I did an 80s show called Toby Jugs. It was sort of like, it was going to be a whole toy thing, you know, these Toby Jugs, and then they turn into... Well, they're just Toby Jugs, you know, yeah. But they had an animated series. Toby Jugs, they come out at night. Toby Jugs, they look like men from the 18th century. Toby Jugs. Terrible. Really bad. Didn't work. Was it that? You know, was it my line of perfume? A smell like a butt, which was a sort of joke.
Mm.
And by butt, I meant boot.
Oh, right.
Which also isn't great, but still, it either way, it bombed. What was it? What was it that made you realise my mum had to abandon me and let me go off with my dad, whatever his name was, and live this life of passion and, you know, ecstasy, which was a blessing and a curse in equal measure. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to get out and perform, but it's also like being stabbed by 40 knives. That's how much we give of ourselves when we act. You know, I've always said actors are the bravest people I've ever met, you know, and that includes firefighters, that includes soldiers, you know. To go out there and deliver a speech to a crowd who might look ever so slightly disappointed is, I mean,
scary.
Can you do anything braver than that?
Yeah.
So which was it that made you realise it was worth me doing that? Worth me... Sue's back. We'll carry on. Worth me abandoning you? And he said, no, it wasn't any of those things. I listened to your podcast. And I thought, that's a really sad, tragic... I think he used the word pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Person.
Yeah.
Who needs help?
Yeah.
And possibly isn't well. And I need to let go of my pain, my anger, my fury. And I need to see her and have this conversation and buy her a drink and say, Mum, I forgive you. So he engineered it. He created an advert. He created an extermination company first. And it was a very long-winded way, especially when you've got things like Facebook.
Right.
But he created this whole thing for me so that he could see me, get me to Australia, buy me a drink, and we could somehow rekindle our love. He created this fake advert for me. And I stood up and I said, how dare you? This is the first time I've worked in 4 years. And you are pulling the wool over my feet, from under my eyes. I have no son. And then I left. Do you think that was the right thing to do?
Sure.
Yeah. They say no man is an island. I say man, with two N's, the woman, is an island.
Yeah.
And it's a bloody great one. And you know what? I don't need anyone.
That's nice. That's nice.
Let's leave it there. So if you're someone who needs anyone, or someone, or a thing, maybe get in touch with us and let us know what your thing, or your one, or your... some your thing is. And maybe we could talk about it next time. It's lovely to be back. I've just been rambling on, you know, as I do. Next time we'll put a little bit of work into it. Arguably. But it's been really great to be back here with Phil, and I hope you do subscribe. I hope you do give us a glowing review, because apparently that helps, and I hope you tell all your friends about it. Goodbye, my darlings. I've been Anna Mann.